The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
So we'll start off, guys. Thank you guys for taking this time to do this with us. Overall, doing the Pop Culture Con, doing the different Comic Con events, what do you guys get out of the most out of doing this?
I think the thing that we get the most is great interactions with fans. You know, the way that we do these things, where we have our autograph lines. Everybody who comes up is super nice, and they're excited to meet you and are friendly and everything. So we get really positive, great experiences with fans through these events.
And the nature of how we record is kind of isolating, so we record one at a time in the booth, and then you get the interactions with the director and with sometimes the other actors, but very rarely. And so it's nice to just be able to, for one thing, be able to record at a pace where we're actually getting fan feedback even online, but then when you come in person, it's a whole different feeling. Like, there's a warmth to it that isn't there online. Partly because of the trolls, and partly because that's just the way human interaction works. So, yeah. So it's a good warm community feeling that we don't get from the recording process.
Thank you from thinking outside the long box. I wanted to ask you: you guys do different types of voice work for different mediums, like video games, or then of course anime and stuff. Is it different doing voice work for different types of mediums?
Right. It's so different. Would you rather I look at you or the phone? Okay. It's completely different to me. When we do anime, it's such a different beast because it's a completed project that we're just overlaying with our voices. So it's not something that you're working on the ground from the ground up. I'm not creating the character in any way. And my job is to translate actually what the character felt like in Japan to an American, to an English-speaking audience. And with voice acting, you get the benefit of being able to create the character and really form how they sound and add in any sort of like crazy laughs or anything like that that makes it feel like a more complete three-dimensional character. So you get to create that, which is amazing. But you don't get the benefit of seeing it completed.
Right.
So you never know from minute to minute if this fight is forming up the way it's supposed to be forming up. That part is actually more difficult to me.
Yeah. And I echo those sentiments a lot. Sometimes video games are faster, which
yeah.
is kind of funny, because I feel like, especially with the simuldubs that we do now, they're so quick and rapid. But like,
right.
video games, especially dubbing video games, even that's different.
Yeah.
Where it's like, here's all your lines, and
just match the timing.
Blow through them as fast as you can so that it fits within the amount of space, because dubbing a video game is different, whereas like when we're doing anime, we have to match the timing of the mouth motions and stuff. But when we're dubbing a video game, you have to match the timing of their audio file.
And the translations are much closer. We don't do as much adapting, so it can be really difficult to fit it into the amount of time you
right.
have to do.
Yeah, so it's all different.
It's
they're,
all different.
All different experiences.
Yeah.
Marcus, from Creativity by Design, both of you have done many Pop Culture Icon characters. What has it been like to be part of this series and the influences it has had on others?
I mean, first of all, it's amazing. Because that's what leads people to us in how we get to have such great interactions with fans. But it's also really cool to see the change, the paradigm change over time that, like, in this time, this show is really popular, and this is the character that everybody really likes to see you for and comes up and talks to you about. And then a few years later, it's this one and everything. So it's really interesting to see that
yeah.
that change and see who's been a fan of you and followed your work for a long time and who's only just now getting into it and learning that you did these other things. And,
yeah.
It's really interesting. It's very interesting to me.
So. It's a weird privilege that we have, that our successes are celebrated by other people.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, in the modern corporate world, if you get a promotion that you're excited about, maybe your friends and family are excited too, but it's not like you get validation suddenly from everybody.
Right.
But with a show like One Piece, where I'm Luffy or Urza in Fairy Tail, where everybody that I meet at these conventions is excited about the thing that I'm excited about. It's this wonderful feeling of validation that I sometimes feel unworthy of, and that we take for granted on occasion. But yeah, it's great to get to celebrate and feel like something that the fans love is also something that we both love and get to feel success from. So it's a unique feeling for sure. I don't know if that was expressed very eloquently.
So with so many characters that you guys play and the voice that you've done, what have you kind of, or do you feel like you get the opportunity to put some of you into that character and kind of make it kind of you?
Right.
How's that kind of?
It's a really fine line to walk with dubs, with anime dubs in particular, because you want any character you want to feel three-dimensional. And the only way they can feel three-dimensional is if you're putting some aspects of yourself in them. Because that's how it's going to feel like the emotions are real, are genuine. But at the same time, our job is to translate it as the character from Japan so that the English-speaking audience gets to know the intentions of the original artist. So there's a fine line between translating without copying, and somewhere in that line lies the ability to include yourself in that emotional landscape, and hopefully the ability of the director to know whose emotional landscape matches really well with the character in the first place.
I also think that with the work that we get to do, the characters help us discover things about ourselves. Like, they bring out certain feelings in the way that we do connect with the character
right.
that we're playing. There are certain times that you're like, man, I never thought about this, I do feel that way.
Yeah.
You know, I have felt that way before.
Yeah.
You know? Like, there's a lot of, I feel like in the same way of like that we are bringing life into the character in this other version,
yeah.
it also is like informing us about ourselves too
right.
in a lot of ways.
What did you learn from Bakugo?
Well, maybe that I'm occasionally aggressive,
right.
but not in a violent way, hopefully. So,
and I learn consistently every time I'm cast. It is reaffirmed that I'm a little bossy. I never get the meat characters ever.
Yeah.
It's like, why is that?
Yeah.
Maybe.
We worked on projects together a lot. Mm-hmm. Do you enjoy working with each other? And like,
this asshole?
Do you like want to get a job and say, hey, this is why I know this room?
We work at the same company, so it's not like we're contractors. That exists in this world, in the anime dubbing world. But we're lucky enough to work for Funimation where we are salaried employees of the company. And that is by virtue of them making so much anime. They just, I mean, we make 18 every season. So they are able to employ a large number of people. So it's not so much like I get hired on a new job and I'm like, hey, let me bring in all the people. It's like we're all on the same projects.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, we do work on video games or things like that outside of that, or conventions or whatever, and we'll always throw people at the right people.
Yeah.
Go get Cliff.
Yeah.
That's why he's in this interview.
That is exactly right. That's exactly right. But to that same credit, Colleen is actually very responsible for some of the work that I've done, in that, like, you brought me on as your assistant director a few years ago, and that led me to becoming a full-time director.
Regretted it ever since.
There's mistakes. We all make mistakes in life, but
no,
it's too bad.
No, I mean, clearly it worked out. He's talented.
but we have worked together a lot, and we obviously have good chemistry.
Yeah.
We joke around.
Yeah.
Understand each other.
And I think like-minded, like you find the people who you know are going to be responsible enough to bring into the projects that you care about.
Because
there are a lot of flakes in this industry, and talent does not always mean responsibility. So you have to seek out the people who are talented and care about it.
Yeah.
It's so nice that he is actually a fan of the stuff that we're creating, because then you feel like it's in good hands. So if I have to leave my hero to direct the movie, and I'm going to have 2 episodes where I'm not going to be able to direct, then it's nice to be able to go to somebody who's like, no, I've been watching it. I've been keeping up with it. I know everything about it. He catches stuff I don't catch. It's nice. And I claim that as my own.
You're welcome.
So, for you guys, you both act and you do directing on these shows as well. What challenges and responsibilities is it for you to do both? both, and on top of that, have to direct yourselves in some of these shows.
I'm curious about your answer. When I first started directing, it was really difficult to direct myself because I was so picky, and I would just make myself do it over and over and over again. I never felt secure, and now I feel like I can cast myself because within the first line, I've got it. Like, I know what I want. We're fine. Let's move on. And it's just a sense of confidence and the ability to trust yourself after all these years. So you're newer.
Yeah.
Are you going through any of that?
Well, not so much now.
Yeah.
Actually, initially when I started directing, like either as your assistant or then as my own,
yeah.
What was challenging about that was that I was so much newer to the company than everybody that I was directing.
Right.
So like giving, not necessarily having the confidence in myself, but ensuring everyone that I was working with that they should have the confidence in me to tell the story.
Yeah.
Like that was kind of a hurdle.
It's so intimidating for new directors to direct Chris Sabat.
Yeah.
Like, who am I to tell Chris Sabat how to read a line?
Right. But then, but I don't know, it kind of depends on the role.
Then you get over it.
Because, for at least for, like, self-directing, it depends on the role. Because
yeah.
I would almost say I'm reluctant to cast myself.
Yeah.
I try to not ever cast myself in something that's too large of a role. Because, you know, that's just ego.
It is.
To some point. But,
yeah.
like, I can handle that sort of thing, but like for example, in the episodes where you have to direct the movie and then I have to take over the My Hero episodes,
I cast you. So,
yeah, yeah, I hate directing myself as Bakugo. I hate it because that role is so pivotal to my career and the fans that I have and all these things. It means a lot that I desperately miss you.
Right.
Being
you want other ears in the room.
To tell me if it's as good as I hope
right.
it is. So it kind of depends. But
I get that for sure.
Yeah. But by and large, if I'm casting myself in something, it's A, because I do feel like I am the best fit for it or a good fit for it and not overstepping my own self. But then I also have the confidence that I can just do it and it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
So.
I have a pretty strict rule of not casting myself as a lead.
Yeah.
I do believe, though, that if you act, casting yourself as a tertiary character is a great idea because then you are at all points spending some time in the booth because
mm-hmm.
things change in the booth and the audio could be off. It could sound really echoey in there. It could be that the music is really difficult to record over and you wouldn't know that unless you're doing it yourself.
Right.
So it's nice to be on the ground in there and testing it out. I don't like casting myself as leads. I don't believe in doing it. Which means that sometimes you get a show where you're like,
yeah.
I want that role. And you have to get over it.
And it's funny what you're talking about. A lot of voice actors are hesitant to tell you if something's wrong. Like if all those things are happening, like it's really echoey or the music's really loud or there's something that's out of sync. The actors, for some reason, don't, even if they've been doing it forever,
they don't want to complain.
They don't want to seem like they're overstepping or
yeah.
they're being a burden or anything like that. They don't want to seem like they're a drama
yeah.
queen. Meanwhile, you get somebody who's a director that also acts in your booth, they'll immediately be like, hey, you have latency.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I've recorded 13 people.
Yeah.
Like, why did no one say anything? But yeah, so.
What would be one character that's kind of most inspired?
Most inspired?
Yeah. That your voice has kind of had the most inspiration for you.
For me.
Well, I guess for each of you.
Okay.
I'm judging my answer off of your answer, so.
Okay. I'm going to go a little less, like, ethereal moral and a little more career-oriented. Luffy in One Piece, who is my favorite character to record, is in no way anything like me. I am not, in fact, a teenage boy pirate made of rubber. And I don't connect with him in any way other than I love him. But what he does inspire me to do, not he, the role inspires me to let myself out of my boundaries a little bit, push the envelope, try new things, have more confidence in myself to have some range. And I think he was the first character that really opened me up to feeling like, oh, I can do that. I can do boy voices, and that means I can do character voices or little girls, or I can try new things rather than getting kind of pigeonholed into one role. So it was inspiring to me across my career.
I think in a similar way, I would have to maybe say Yoon from Yona of the Dawn, which you actually cast me as, but then I don't think you ever directed me.
No, I didn't.
Because that was the first one that was the first show that you called me in and had me assistant direct on, and you made it a point to have me direct myself on that role
so that it could be
every time. And that was the challenge. It was kind of like what we were talking about before, is that like you need to have the confidence in yourself that you're able to tell the story without someone else telling you how to tell the story. And so
I remember how hard on you yourself you were at one point. It was like the high voice, being a girl.
Yeah.
You had to have me listen to it because you felt it was terrible and it was perfect.
Yeah. So that one for sure, because of a lot of the same reasons, where it was like it brought in my own sense of confidence that I could handle that sort of task.
Yeah.
My last question. Both of you guys are great, talented, and creative people. What part of the creative process brings you the most joy?
What part of the creative process brings us the most joy? Acting. Acting's always brought me joy. I've loved it since I was 12, which is when I started acting. I do not have a love relationship with directing. I have a satisfaction relationship with directing. I love the feeling that I get when it's completed, but during it, I want to bang my head against walls. Yeah. With acting, it's just joy. I go into the booth. I don't have to think. I can just become the character. I'm not a person who obsesses about the character arc outside of the booth. Like, I'm not preparing myself to be in that character. I just get in there, and I feel like I just slip into it really quickly. And having a director that you can work with to create their vision is also satisfying. And I like letting go. I'm type A, just a smidge. And so it's nice to have some facet of your career or life where you can just let that go and not be that person.
I think for me, I love acting. Like, desperately love it and sometimes lament that I don't get to do it as much anymore now that I direct.
Yeah.
But there is something incredibly satisfying and fulfilling for me as a director. Working on some of the shows I've done, where you really get into the nitty gritty of it and work with an actor and you hone in on this thing, such as like I directed Darling in the Franxx and SSSS Gridman. Those were shows where I really delved into the performances with those actors.
Yeah.
And, it was the kind of thing that, like, when we were wrapping up Franxx, every single person who finished recording it cried. cried at the ending of it. Like, missed, just immediately missing the show and stuff. And there's this incredible feeling that when an actor is, like, struggling with a line a little bit or, like, working towards it, and then they nail it, it's just like, yes! Oh, it makes you want to, like, stand up and just cheer and see people, to see other people grow. I've had several actors message me after I've cast them on things that they're like, I had never done this voice before you cast me to do this different voice, and then I auditioned with it for this other thing and booked this other thing, too. And so, like, I don't know, there's something training people to
open up. That's fun.
Yeah. So I don't know. Directing's probably the one.
I like that we had different answers.
Yeah.
Any social media links that people can find you at, and any final words for our viewers?
Yeah. Twitter is @C Carol Beard. Good luck. and Instagram is @Colleen Klinkenbeard, I think. Yeah.
And
I'm Colleen Klink. That's my personal one.
And I am really just on Twitter. It's just my name, @ClifFordChapin.
Easy.
Is there any last minute projects you guys work on?
I'm super stoked about Fruits Basket, the new season of Fruits Basket that's coming out. And Fruits Basket was the first anime that I ever watched. And now I get to play my favorite character from that anime. Because that happened that way. But I'm thrilled about that one.
I have a lot that I can't talk about.
I know.
I have things that I can't talk about right now. Yeah. Borderlands 3.
Borderlands 3. I'm so excited about that one.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Baron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Baron Space production.